Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh dear friends, our great God is ever so concerned for us, and we his people ought to know. Here is the greatest channel of blessing and means of grace, that it is also the greatest neglected means of grace. Neglected, available but not used. God says, I'll never forsake you, nor leave you. Hold on to this promise. Now let's turn to the Word of God. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Here we are going to learn from the Lord Himself why we ought to pray, how to pray. For this is the most neglected means of grace in a Christian's life. People are so busy with work, 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 and life today is a rush for everybody. So much so that you say, no time, no time to pray. You've got so much work. Well, dear friends, I want you to just change your mindset, your thinking, and include prayer as part of work. The most holy, profitable, essential work is prayer. Before you go to your work in the morning, make this the first item, the first priority. For therein is great power. The greatest power available. You say it wrong. You say, no. Do you know what is the greatest power available? Just think. What is it? Those of you who lived through the Japanese occupation will say, well, the greatest power was the atom bomb, wasn't it? Wow. One bomb and 130,000 people evaporated. That is power. But I tell you, there is a greater power. The one who made the atom is God. And he changed the heart of those who dropped that bomb to go back to Hiroshima and put a memorial plaque and say, the mistake will not be repeated. To realize that killing lives is not the solution to problems on earth. True? But the love of God, through the gospel, through our Lord Jesus Christ, changes life and opens to them a new avenue of hope to the land of everlasting life and everlasting blessing. Now, Jesus speaks to us. Please turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And here, the Lord Himself teaches you how to pray. Verse 6 of Matthew 6. Jesus says to us, when you pray, enter into your closet, your room. When you have shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. This is the first requirement. You say, what is the requirement? Enter into a place where you can shut yourself into God. For the Lord Jesus himself went oftentimes to the mountain to be alone. Why is it necessary? Because if you do not find that special environment, you know what happens? We have telephones nowadays. Who hasn't got telephones that rings day and night? Cell phones, newspapers, the media, everything crowds in onto your, into your life. And the Lord says, get those things out of the way. You want to commune with the Lord, find a quiet place that you will be quiet. Shut out every other entrance of communications and messages from outside, which are things of this world of no relevance to your eternal welfare. Get them out of the way first. In other words, there must be a purpose, a purposeful praying. Don't just treat it as casual. No, dear friends, That's why I entitled this morning's message, "How is your prayer life?" Do you have a prayer life at all? Do you? Tell me. Confess. Truly, I would say, most here, Pete, do not have any methodical prayer life. I say this from experience. When I first began to be a pastor, I took a census of my members. And to my great surprise and shock and horror, most of them do not have a consistent, organized prayer life. You ask yourself, do you? Be honest. The result of that was I wrote a little booklet. And this I brought enough for you. There are about 100 copies. If you are bad sighted, large print. If you read Chinese, Chinese version. All right, all available at giveaway prices. Yes. Please, let's be serious. If you're a Christian, you ought to have an organized prayer life as top priority. Out of all your 24 hours, you have so many things calling on your time and attention. Make this number one. I must have my time with God. To spend with Him, the best time is, I say, in the morning. Before the telephone rings. Before the sun is up, if you can, say, why not? You know, children are so excited. You say, tomorrow we are going for an outing. And they are up before the sun is up. And they're so excited. Are you excited about praying? You say, well, nothing happens when I pray. I say, you pray wrongly. Now let's see how we pray. Verse 6. When you pray, go to your room. Shut it. And pray to the Father in secret. Do you do that? Do you make special time and a place and a mind must be open to the Holy Spirit? Then you say, Lord, here I am to talk to you. For the Father awaits your praying every day. He is at the right hand, Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me. He is praying for you and for me. And how wonderful if we can meet Him there at that throne of grace. The throne of grace is the place where you settle so many worries and problems, anxieties and concerns, which no man can solve on earth for you. Now what else do we do? Verse 7. When you pray, use not vain repetitions. Some have been brought up in certain teachings to keep on repeating. When we went on a tour of Holy Land, our driver was an Arab. And they have rosary. There's a long chain of beads wrapped around his steering wheel. As he drove, he was handling those things. Every bead is a prayer. Every time he handles it, there's a prayer going on. And it is the same prayer. Repeated, 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 repeated. I attended a friend's relative's funeral. And there were the monks going around the coffin. And they keep on repeating a little, just a few words, over and over and over again. Meaning to say, if I keep on repeating, whoever is supposed to hear will pay more attention. Do you do that? Please. Prayer is from the heart. What you need to pray for, the Father in heaven knows before you pray. And all you have to come to Him is to come in the right relationship. What do you mean by right relationship? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm sinning against Him, or against my brother, or I'm planning to do something bad, and I go to pray, the Lord says, I will not hear you because you are not right with me. So, the first thing is confess all our sins, get rid of them, and be open before God, then tell Him what is your problem. Do you do that? Back to verse 7. Don't be as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for much speaking. No, it is the heart attitude that is most important. Then comes the verbalization of your prayer. What you need most from the Lord, tell Him from your heart that has first been cleansed of all your evil and your bad thinking. Verse 8. Be not therefore like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. Then you say, why should I ask? He says He knows, why can't He just supply? My dear friends, God has a divine law. Inasmuch as you who are fathers and mothers, what is it you expect of your child? In the morning, what does a child do? I say, when the child is 3 and 4, the first thing when waking up is, Father, Mother, I need you. I look for you. Jesus says, except you be converted and be as a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ah, realize that. We are little children by nature in the spirit. We are little children. And God, as a father, is always looking down, concerned, caring, waiting for you and me to approach unto Him. Then when you ask, there is that feeling that every mother knows. When the child comes and says, Mom, Dad, can I have this or that? When it is right in that request, it warms your heart, doesn't it? Father and mother, young parents. This is what God wants us to do. You say, you know already. I say, yes, God knows. But God says, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be open. This is a divine law that you show that affection, that dependency on God. When you come to Him, He is pleased. Then He gives to you what you ask, and you are pleased, you are satisfied. This is a divine method. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray. This is how to pray. Do not continue in that ignorant way of a shopping list. You go to shopping list, you go to the supermarket, you got a list. And all you're bothered with is, I must get through that list as soon as I can. I come to pray, Lord, here's my shopping list, you take care of it. And make the prayer as fast as you can. Today we live in the fast age, fast food, fast prayers, quick ones. And you have no time. I said, no, dear friends, this is a wrong way to pray. The way to pray is to have fellowship. The one you love, you take time to be with that person. There's no need to urge you to say, don't hurry. So the same with God. How much do you love Him? If you love Him, you love His company, you love His fellowship at the best time of the day. I challenge you, you give to God an extra half hour early in the morning. What is your normal waking time? 6, 7, 8? I don't know. But whatever it is, say, Lord, I promise you, I want to wake up a little earlier. And then the first half hour, I give it to you. And there we will have sweet fellowship, talking. Open your heart, bear it to Him. He knows what is inside there, but when you do that, that opens the door of blessing. How can I know it? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. I can make a long speech about how wonderful that dish is. After that, you say, well, okay, but you cannot appreciate what that is so good until you eat it. I say, you cannot appreciate prayer and the blessing of prayer until you pray. And pray earnestly, pray correctly. And when you do that, a change is coming over your life. You find living becomes different. Who has done it? Who? like the people who dropped the bomb. They came back and said, sorry, we will not repeat that mistake. Who did it? The Spirit of God. In answer to your prayer, when you pray correctly, pray from your heart, earnestly, genuinely, God hears. He answers. And you are going to find things that you thought impossible become very possible. In fact, you will be surprised. Read on. What is it you say when you pray? Thy kingdom come. The whole purpose of my Lord Jesus coming to earth is to institute the way into the kingdom. Jesus came not for any other purpose but to open the way for you and me into that kingdom, the kingdom of everlasting life and light, so that we, trusting in Him, putting all our faith in Him, become members of that wonderful kingdom. And then after being members, witnesses, to go out and tell other people who never heard of it, because of you, they listen and they come. What for? To increase the numbers here? Yes, in a way. But the purpose of coming into this congregation is that you now belong to the kingdom of God. Not to this church in particular that you are happy that is increased. That is secondary. Number one is here at this RELC gathering are members of the kingdom of God. So therefore in our prayer, the first item is, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This is the first petition, you know. God's kingdom first. I'm here because I'm a member of the kingdom of God. If you're not, please come and talk to me. If you're a member of the kingdom, this is your first priority, your first request. Thy kingdom come. That God's kingdom will be established on planet earth according to His promise. So that is our first priority. So whatever we do, when you come here, I am contributing to the witness of the kingdom of God at True Life BP Church or whatever other true church you belong to. Your purpose is to go there to increase that witness, to show other people that there is a way of life, and this is the way I'm following. This is a place I come to every Sunday in order that other people may see your witness is important. But that witness is for the kingdom of God. Not for yourself, not for anybody else, only for the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. So He said, thy kingdom come. And when that great kingdom comes, I say you will be the happiest person on earth because you have a part in that kingdom. Because you have done your part, your share for that kingdom. When it comes, you'll be very happy. Unspeakable happiness. Then you ask me, when is it coming? When? I say, soon. The Lord Jesus must return. And when He returns, that kingdom will be established 1,000 years on earth. Now, that is another topic. We're not here to talk about that. But remember, thy kingdom come. Then, next is, thy will be done on earth. Say, personalize this. Thy will be done in my life. Let my life be a living example of God's will. And that will must be seen in the way I live, the way I talk, the way I relate to other people, the way I go about my business every day. Transparent, honest, true Christian, in fact and in deed. No hypocrisy. As that Chinese saying goes, display sheep head, sell dog meat. Don't. Let's all be genuine. Display sheep head, very good. Live like a sheep. Live transparent. Live to the glory of God. Thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's good. Why not give me this day my bread for 1 month? There are problems, you know. Your refrigeration, it will not sustain 1 month's food. Yeah? So there are many problems. When Jesus taught us to pray, pray for one day at a time. There is great wisdom and a problem saving in that prayer. If God gives you just enough every day, enough for you to eat, enough for you to spend, enough for you to drive around, to see to the needs of your children and your family, thank God, day at a time. And God will supply you more than that, but beyond that is not necessary. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How about that one? Oh, dear friends, the most difficult word to say is sorry. Very difficult. Many people think of saying, but they stop short of saying it. To forgive others. To say that actually I'm wrong. Yes, and I forgive you. Yes, because you had not done anything wrong. Yeah? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if we do not forgive, if you harbor grudges and hatred of other people, how can I expect God to forgive me? This is a very common, ordinary logic and reasoning that God has given to us. You just want God to forgive me, and then I don't forgive others. No. So, let us learn to forgive, to be forgiving, to realize our own trespasses, our own shortcomings, for none here is perfect. No one is perfect. We all sin. We all make mistakes. And so Jesus says, overlook other people and then God will overlook your sins. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil. Oh dear friends, when you pray, God will do something in your life and lead you in the path of righteousness. Whereas formerly you would like to go to certain places, today you don't. God changed you. So many of those who are converted, those who have heard the gospel, once they hear the gospel, they recognize the God I serve is a holy God. Automatically, you never need to tell them. When the conversion is genuine, they stop all the habits that were customary and normal to them. I give you the example. This man was very angry with the wife when he got converted in our church in Calvary Jurong. Very angry. The wife says, no, never mind. You get angry, I get more obedient and more obliging and cook better for you, clean the house better. Ah, he began to see a difference. One day came a gospel service in Cantonese. Come along, please. The wife urged him. He came. He heard. The word of God got through to him and he repented. And you know what? He stopped going to the cinema. He stopped playing mahjong. These are true facts. And he stopped smoking. And all these things to him were unprofitable. Why should I do them? I'm now a child of God. One day I had finished preaching and he came. I never knew this person. I was in the English church, Calvary Pandan. And he came from Calvary Jurong. And he walked up the aisle to me as I finished preaching, came down and says, Dr. Toh, I'm going to emigrate to Australia. I said, well, you can't even speak a word of English. You're going to Australia. I said, how come? He says, I worked for 15 years for the Australian government in Christmas Island. And they allow me now to emigrate to become a citizen of Australia. I said, congratulations. He says, that's not the purpose I came to tell you. When my house is ready, will you come and do a church in my house? I said, oh, amazing. A one who hated the gospel, one who did not like the Lord Jesus Christ, now says, I'm going to have a house, and then you make my house the church. We went 1986. Prayer can do so wonderful things. The wife prayed, the husband got converted. Now he wants to start a church in his house. Chinese New Year 1986, we sent out invitations to all those who had emigrated to Australia from Singapore. And they came, plus friends and others. You know how many? 93. One shot, a church was started. I said, God can do great things because the wife prayed and the gospel was preached and he was saved. Now, dear friends, let me give you some examples of prayer. In case some doubt still, I said, do not doubt. I saw my mother praying when I was about 5 or 6. Accidentally, I opened the door and there I saw, knelt on the floor, was mother. That's enough. I never forgot how to pray in a room shut and together alone with God. That was my example, my sample. During Dr. John Sung's meetings in 1935, we sat through 2 weeks. In those meetings, prayer was number one. When Dr. Sung says, let's all pray, everybody prayed. Everybody prayed out loud. Amazing. You say, how can God answer 1,000 people praying loud at the same time? God answered prayer. Every day we see dozens come to the front and confess their sins in tears and change their lives. Men with 3 wives brought them all to the front and they all confessed and all repented. 2 wives got pensioned off, 1 wife remained. And the 2 wives became missionaries. Amazing! What happened? People prayed. So I said, those things you never forget. You just know there is power in prayer. Praying to God that His will be done in the lives of sinners to turn to God. I said, you pray. If you're earnest and pray, God can do great things. My grandfather, for 13 years, he prayed one prayer that I heard, nighttime especially. Lord, receive the soul of your humble little servant. I said, grandfather, why do you pray that prayer for? He says, I want to go to heaven. Dare you pray that prayer? You must be ready to meet God if you want to pray that prayer. But he was a man of God. Now, let me tell you this. God answers prayer even to control the weather. 1981, we had a conference for Far Eastern Christian Council of Churches, or Council of Christian Churches. And we expect, this was in Calvary Pandan, we expected 1,500 people to come. Our auditorium could take 600. Where to put the extra 900 people? I said, never mind, let's try open air. So the quadrangle, we put chairs, open air. Plus all the floors above, plus everywhere, we put up 1,500 seats. But who is going to control the weather? Because it was raining oftentimes. I say, brethren, all of us pray. If we pray and say, if it is God's will, He will hold back the rain. Can He do that? Elijah was a man of like passions such as we are. Who was he? Elijah. He was a man of God. He prayed earnestly and God withheld the rain for 3.5 years. This is in James 5, verse 17, alright? You will refer there. And God stopped the rain. For 5 days during our conference, it never rained a drop. I said, praise God, praise the God. When the conference was over, we said, yeah, God is great, isn't it? I said, God is greater. When I got home, I got a call from my brother. Praise the Lord! Conference finished at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, God sent a thunderous shower. Do tell us, I held back the rain for you. Why is it it didn't rain every day for 5 days? And when we finished the conference, just half an hour later, the rain came. God answers prayer. You believe that? In case you don't believe, God sent the rain. Just after the conference is over, the rain came. I have a friend who was on block like me. You know what's on block? You get out. Because the block is going to sell. And pull down. She prayed. I can't afford to buy a house. But I will ask for the Lord to give me a place in RELC Hotel. But that apartment is taken by someone else. Lord, you are able. Please work out that when I need it, that apartment will be empty. Dare you pray such a prayer? 2 years. That prayer, I know. When the time came, that is May last. Are we still in May? Yes. This month. The occupant got transferred overseas. Pulled out. Vacated. Apartments available. Answer to prayer. Lord, if it is your will, it can happen. You pray like that. In faith, trusting, God can answer so many prayers. In 1955, I needed to be trained to become a gynecologist. And I needed a recognized training post. I prayed with my wife. I said, Lord, if it is your will for me to do gynecology and I need to be trained, please send me an approved training post in England. And I said, Lord, I give you 6 months. Because in the government service, every 6 months you get moved. I said, the next move is coming and I want to go away. If it is your will. If not your will, I'll go into general practice. I'll just be a GP. That's good enough. Good GP is good, you know. So I prayed. Dear friends, do you think God answers prayer? One day, accidentally, I walked through the KK Hospital doctor's tea room. And I heard the doctor from Ireland tell another doctor, I got a post for training. Would you like to go? I said, that sounds good. I came back to that doctor who's from Ireland. I said, what happened? He says, Dr. Chan says he doesn't want to be a gynecologist. I said, can I go? Yes. 2 months. God answers prayer. Before 6 months, in 2 months. My dear friends, let's put prayer as your first priority. Come before the Lord every day, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, and through the day, pray without ceasing. Jesus says men ought always to pray, not to faint. Don't give up because your prayer has not been answered. Maybe you pray wrongly. Maybe you didn't actually pray. God says, pray through. Be patient and persevering because God hears your prayer and He knows your needs. He will answer you. Make prayer your first priority and see how God is going to bless you. Our Father in heaven, do please make us each one to be a praying warrior for Thee. To know that we have a Savior who not only saves us, but who continues to be interested in us, who cares and is able to save unto the uttermost and to answer all our heart's requests. So Lord, help us that we will put Thee first, prayer first, as our priority every day, to the glory of God. I pray once again for my brother, Reverend Toh, as Thou hast kept his life 20 months longer than the doctors expected, for Thou art the great physician, Thou art the greatest doctor. May Thou continue to heal, to bless, and that through his blessing, blessing comes to the church. O Lord, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.